We come today to conclude this series with this message entitled, The Primary Proof of Spirit-Filled Living. If you are filled with the Spirit, what is the proof of that? Some would say, I speak in a tongue. Some would say, I have power to raise the dead. Some would say, I can work miracles. Some would say, I am sanctified in holy living. We find all of those in Scripture. But the Bible tells us what the primary proof of Spirit-filled living is. It's found in 1 Corinthians in verse 13. It is interesting that in chapter 12, Paul deals with spiritual giftedness. Everyone in here saved has a spiritual gift. God anoints you and endows you with a spiritual gift. Then in chapter 14, he talks about the difference, because Corinth was arguing about the difference of the superiority of prophecy and speaking in tongues. And between those two chapters, he lays chapter 13. And he gives us the primary proof of Spirit-filled living. Chapter 13, verse 1. And if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have, what's the word? Love. I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have what? Love. I am nothing. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have what? Love. It profits me nothing. The primary proof of Spirit-filled living is God's love in you, emanating through you. Romans 5:5, the great apostle Paul said that the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When the Holy Spirit is given, it is the love of God that is poured out in our heart. The portrait of this love is Christ Jesus. And everybody in here that's a Christian should be a reprint of the portrait. Jesus is the portrait. But you and I should be the reprint. Friend, if you don't have love, you will be mastered by materialism, antagonistic toward the things of God, resistant to the Spirit of God, and callous to the things of eternity. Love, it's how you're going to be judged when you get to heaven. There are two judgments. There's the great white throne judgment. That's for lost people. I'm not going there. I settled out of court. Amen. And friend, if you don't settle out of court, you're going to go to the great white throne, and Jesus will say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. But I settled out of court. I got me an attorney. Woo! He not only took my case, he paid my bill. Amen. Jesus is my advocate. And he has settled my case, and I am his. And since I am his, I will not go to the great white throne, but I will stand at the Bema seat. And Matthew 25 says that I'm going to be judged. And I'm going to be judged on love. He said, that is, you've done it to the least of these. Done what? Visited when in jail. Gave them clothes when they were naked. Gave them food when they were hungry. As you've done to the least of these, though you have done to me. Friend, that's the judgment. It's not going to be the judgment of how well you preach, how well you taught, how well you sung. It's not going to be how many miracles you did. It's going to be, was there love? That's the primary proof of Spirit-filled living. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, love comes through you. So now, preacher, what do you mean by that? Oh, what a great question. Because Paul tells us right here in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 of 1 Corinthians what that love is. And so this morning, I want to show you seven qualities of this love that will come through. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, there are seven qualities in your life. Let's look at them together. Number one, the first quality is that love suffers long. Look at it right there in verse 4. It is patient, kind. It is not jealous. Love always suffers long. Remember how Jesus dealt with Judas? He suffered with him long. Let me tell you, if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have fired old Judas. He'd have never got that money out of the till. He'd have never put his hand in the bread bowl. He'd have been long gone before he ever kissed me on the cheek. But I'm telling you, Jesus suffered long. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you come to the anointing of God and you will suffer long. Yes, indeed. You'll be patient. You'll be kind. You'll not be jealous. Number two, the second quality of love is that love makes no parade. Love doesn't make a parade. Look at it right here in verse number 4. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. And it does not act, I love this phrase, unbecomingly. What a word. Friend, there's no swagger in love. Well, sports figures like that word today. He got his swag on. I know a lot of Christians got their swag on. Let me tell you, there's no parade in Jesus kind of love. You see, Jesus always did the right thing, the right way, at the right time. No swagger, no parade, no arrogance. No. Let me tell you, friend, the opposite of being filled with the Holy Ghost is being filled with yourself. You got to die to you to be full of Him. Amen. Love makes no parade. Number three, love is not hot-tempered. Ooh, look at it right here. Verse 5, it does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Friend, love that's not hot-tempered is not irritable. Love that is not hot-tempered does not keep a scorecard. The only kind of scorecard that love keeps is a record of the kindness that you have received from other people. Some of us need to work on our short-term memory lapse. Now, in our culture of older people today, we hear a lot about short-term memory. Oh, he or she can remember way back there. They just don't remember what you just talked about. It's a wicked old disease. But I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost gives you short-term memory lapse. What that old wicked witch did to you, you choose to forget it. Lest you get amnesia, you won't forget it, but you can choose to forget it. Say, preacher, I can't do that. Exactly. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. That's the power proof that you're full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Number four, love weeps over sin and is gladdened by goodness. Amen. Look at verse number 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Christ always yearned over sinners. Friend, you're full of yourself if you rejoice when your enemies have trouble. Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost will cause you to rejoice over truth when there's great victory. Amen. I thank God to just, it's been in the last 4 or 5 years that there's been a deepening of the maturation of this in my heart. When you are competitive by nature, love runs counterclockwise to you. I've started on Sunday morning, just in my prayer journal, I just list the names of preachers. I've done that for years around the world, but the last few years I've prayed for pastors in my city. And dear God, help them over at Hillcrest Day to have a glory day. Help them down at East Brent to get the right preacher. Bless Brother Dale in retirement. Bless Brother Barry down at First Baptist. God, help him dig in the Word today and bring that. Lord, I pray for my buddy Nathan up at Ray's Chapel in that country church, that God, you'd sit down right there today. I pray for my good friend Joey Rogers over at Pace Assembly of God. Lord, help him slow down enough to find it today. Amen. I love that preacher. I pray for Evan Horton down at Brownsville Assembly of God. Write his name there. Hey, we're not in competition with these churches. Well, if you don't like them here, you're going to hate heaven. Because they're going. I don't know about you, but they're going. And you see, love always weeps over sin, but it's gladdened when God's people do good. Amen. Are you broken over a sinner today? I'm telling you what the Spirit of God does. Number 5, love cannot be conquered. Amen. Look at this text. This verse is probably the most quoted verse about love in all the Bible and the most misunderstood. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. Love cannot be conquered. Look at those 4 words. It bears, it believes, it hopes, and it endures. Now I want you to watch this. Here's what love does. Love bears all things. What that means is that love gets under the load. Sometimes love is tough. We hear all about tough love. Well, let me tell you, you got to love tough. And doing tough love is tough. If you're going to love like Jesus, you got to bear up. You got to get under the load. You ever been moving a heavy object and you got 3 or 4 buddies going to help you? There's always one wimp in the group. To quote a good North Alabama term, he won't tote his load. He wants to point the way. He don't want to get under the load. Let me tell you, friend, if you're going to love like Jesus loved, you're going to have to get under the load sometimes. Say, preacher, I can't do it. I know you can't. That's where the Spirit of God has to give you supernatural power so that you can bear all things. Mm-hmm. Believes all things. That doesn't mean that he's easily deceived. That doesn't mean that you just believe anything. What it means is that your spirit is not first suspicious about people. Love believes. Now, it can be proven wrong, and you come to wisdom and discernment, but you don't just automatically say no. See, some of you have a fleshly suspicious heart. You're suspicious of everything. You need to let love begin to believe through you. As a matter of fact, some of us have missed the hand of God because we were so suspicious we missed the supernatural. You never know when God brings somebody or something in your life that really is His touch, and you just negate it because you're not full of the Spirit of God to discern it. It bears all things. It believes all things. Number 3, it hopes. It hopes all things. Let me tell you, friend, now listen to this. Hear me clearly. When hope seems to die, love stays. It hopes all things. Even when your hope light seems to go out, the love of the Spirit of God stays. It does not go. Love cannot be conquered. You got a young'un in the far country, and you say, preacher, you just don't know. They've gone, and they're so far. I'm telling you, the way you love that child that was reared in church, came to Bible school like their kids will do in 2 weeks, baptized in this church, grew up, sang in the youth choir, went to youth camp, and now they've gone off and they're in the far. Love hopes. Love hopes. It cannot be conquered. You never, ever quit. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't do it. I know you can't, but this is the Spirit of God. You must be yielded unto Him, and you will bear all things, believe all things, hope all. Number four, it endures all things. Now, I want every eye in here looking at me right now. Every eye in here. Look up at that big screen. Look me in the eye close. Jesus never gives up on you. Jesus never gives up on you. Aren't you glad? Now, this is not a word, but I'm fixing to make it one. I have been give upable. I've been where, if I was Jesus, I'd have given up on me. Oh, he'll never get it. He never. I don't care who you are. I'm telling you, God never, because he is love and his love endures. Let me tell you, friend, if you die without him, you'll go to hell. But as long as you're in this world, I'm telling you, God never gives up. Never gives up. There's a song about that in there, John. He never gives up on me. Yeah. He never gives up. Why? Because he bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all, and we're to endure all things. I'm telling you, love cannot be conquered. You want to know why a church is great? It's because it's full of love, and that can't be conquered. The wickedness of the world can come against Olive Baptist Church, but it will always stand because love cannot be conquered. If you begin to hate one another and hate the world, hate the preacher, hate the deacons, and hate the move, I'm telling you, the church will die. But if you'll love God, love your pastor, love your leaders, love one another, I'm here to tell you that love cannot be conquered. This church will stand when the world's on fire if you'll love God with all of your heart. It's what love does. It cannot be conquered. Number six, love can outlast anything. Because we always say it. Everybody knows the verse. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, because love what? Never fails. It never fails. Now, this word fail here is a wonderful Greek construct. The word failure there literally is like a flower that falls off of a plant. In my yard, there are gorgeous azaleas. When Easter comes, those azaleas light up in all kinds of brilliant color. They just don't last very long, and then they fail. Then the gardenias come. I got one gardenia plant that somebody put out there. It's larger than Texas, I'm telling you. It's just huge. I can smell it from way off. And it's just like a big snowball when it's all. But I looked at it yesterday. Oh, it was pitiful. All the brilliant white is now orangey, brownish, nasty, falling off. That's this word. Jesus is the flower that never falls off. He is always in bloom. You see, if you have love, you can outlast anything. Amen? Because love never fails. Our flesh is like a fading flower. The best we can do is like a fading flower. But the Spirit of God always is there. Because love can outlast anything. Seventh virtue. The seventh virtue in this text. You have to go all the way to the bottom. Now, when you leave that love never fails, he then jumps in verse 8. Look at you, you've got your Bible. That their gifts of prophecy, they're going to be done away. If you're a prophet, sorry, you're going out of business. Tongues, men or angels, they're going to quit. Sorry, going out of business. Knowledge, some of you PhDs, you boy smart. Sorry, you're going out of business. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that is perfect is come, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. It's time for some people to grow up. From now on, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I'll be fully known as I've also been fully known. The seventh virtue is found in verse 13. But now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But love, number seven, is the greatest virtue. You see, friend, faith and hope are going to be done away with. What do you mean, preacher? Well, watch this. Faith. When you live by faith, you don't live by what? Sight. But one of these days, you are going to see. Amen? All that you've been dreaming of and thinking of, faith is going to become sight. Hope. All that you've hoped for, one of these days, it's not going to be hope. It's going to be sight. You've never seen Jesus, but you're going to. Faith, you won't have to have faith. You'll see him. You won't have to have a hope because it'll be reality. But love, never going away. The greatest of these is love, because love is eternal. That is the primary proof of the Spirit-filled life. If the Spirit of God is in you, you are filled with love. Now, listen to me. Now, some of you have a natural inclination to emotional effervescence and showing and hugging and crying and demonstration. Like me. I have older ladies in this church. They come up and they say, Pastor, I know you're not a hugger. And then they put me in a headlock. I say, yeah, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. So some people just have this natural inclination for demonstration. Friend, that's not love. That's emotion. It's a good thing, but it's not Bible love. Some of you are not inclined that way. You don't hug much. You kind of get, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah. How you doing? Fine. Your dog and your cat just died, but you're fine. You just don't open up. You got to share. That's okay. That's just God made you like that. But now watch this. I'm telling you, when love gets in you, and that's the Holy Ghost. When He's in you, this love demonstrates itself. No matter your personality, he comes out. See, some of you that are very emotional, you'll tend to quit in a hurry. You'll run out of emotion. You'll love can outlast anything. Some of you that are hard, you just see an old boy gets in trouble. Well, bless God, he deserved it. Love will make you reach down. I've dealt with this way. God's dealt with my heart. And I've purposefully, I've just stayed away from this subject, but It doesn't have anything to do with heaven, security, stuff. God's just asked me this week when I was preparing this meeting. He said, if Bruce Jenner moved in next door to you, what would you do? And I'm telling you, friend, Jesus, show him love. That's right. You say, I'm talking about all it. That's all that is. Man, there's a whole series of sermons on that. All right? But now the point today is, will you let Jesus show compassion? You say, I can't do it. I couldn't either. But the Holy Spirit of God can. It's amazing. I was at a wedding this week, and it was a very mixed bag of people. As a couple came in, two guys. And I just spoke to them. Like, welcome. How you doing? Hey, they know me. They know what I stand for. Hear me, church. This is not about deciding lifestyles for people. We got sermons on that, and we're going to preach hard on that. And you know where I stand there. But man, let me tell you, if a church does not have the Spirit of Jesus in compassion in it, you might as well shut the door. Because I'm telling you, there's some wigheads in this church. Son, if God didn't love you, you'd be in a mess. Some old drunk and addicts, and child molesters, and wife beaters. Got a couple of husband beaters that's in this church. I had a guy tell me this week, he said, one of my goals in life is I would never date a woman that could whip me. I said, well, amen. That's probably a smart move right there. But we got all kind of sin in this church. So where is it? Well, go home, look in the mirror. Right? Or get out your iPhone and just turn that thing on backwards where you're looking at yourself, all right? Hey, friend, none of us without sin. We all need redemption, amen? And aren't you glad that you can't get so far away that God can't reach you? That's the love of God. Well, the way God loves us, the way we're supposed to love. Now, all right, let's all stand up. I'm not done. Don't head to the door, all right? We're going to read the Bible together, all right? Here we go. I got five scriptures I want you to read out loud with me about love. You know, the Bible's just chock full of love. All right, number one, God is love. Here we go. Let's read it from 1 John 4:16. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if God's going to be in you and you're going to be in him, then love is... So number one, God is love. Don't miss that. Number two, Jesus loves us. Romans 8:37. Let's read it out loud. But in all things, these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Who loved us? Jesus did. He is the him in that text. God is love. Christ loves us. The proof of our Christianity is found in John 13:35. Read this with me. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. God is love. Jesus loves you. Thirdly, you're supposed to love one another. Number four, you're supposed to love your enemies. Read the Word of God. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. God is love. Jesus loves you. The proof of Christianity is we love one another. We're to love our enemies. And then in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, what a text. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart. It's where it all begins. I want to ask you, do you love God? Do you love his church? Do you love his people? It all begins with loving him. Let's read the word of God out loud. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. God does surgery on your heart so that you and all your family will love God with all your heart and all your soul. The question this morning is, do you love God? Do you want to receive God? If you want to, come stand right down here with me.